This morning we'd like to draw your attention to Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 9. Here the prophet said, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us and the great goodness toward us, toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children that will not lie. So he was their Savior. In all of their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. So the prophet takes off on the subject of the loving kindnesses of God. But it is interesting the context in which he puts the loving kindnesses of God. When you go back to verse 1 of chapter 63, in the first six verses, he sees the Lord as he is coming from the day of judgment and vengeance. His garments are stained with blood. They look like a person's garments who has been treading down the grapes in a wine fat, stained by the juice of the grapes, so his garments stained with blood. There is mention of the day of his vengeance. There are two mentions of his treading down the enemy. And there are three mentions of his fury in this first part. And yet, in this stark contrast of his fury, his vengeance, his anger, the prophet said, I will speak of the loving kindnesses of the Lord. In Romans chapter 11, Paul said, behold the goodness and the severity of God. Goodness, actually severity upon those that fell, and goodness towards those if they continue in his goodness. There are two sides to God: the goodness of God, the severity of God. The severity of God against sin and against his enemies, and the goodness of God towards his children. And both aspects of God's nature can be seen in one action. And even here in the action of his vengeance and judgment, the prophet says, I will declare, or I will mention, the loving kindnesses of God. This is Father's Day, and so let's paint a picture of a father for you to help us perhaps understand how the prophet can speak of the vengeance and the fury and the anger of God in the same breath in which he speaks of his loving kindnesses. Here's a father looking out of the window of his house, watching his only child playing on the lawn. A child that means more to him than his life himself. A child that he loves so dearly he would gladly lay down his life for that child. And as he watches his child just playing on the lawn, he finds this welling up within him of just the emotion of love and joy, seeing that little one that he loves so completely. But suddenly, he sees a pack of rabid, mad dogs entering the yard, beginning to attack his child. He runs out of the house and throws himself in the midst of that pack of mad dogs and begins to attack them, those dogs that were attacking his child. And one by one, he kills those dogs until the threat is gone. And then tenderly he goes over and lifts his child and carries it into the house, dresses the wounds, and nurses it back to health. Now, what picture do you see of that father? Do you see only his fury and anger in destroying those dogs? Or do you see rather his tremendous loving kindness towards the little child that he loved? Here is God looking down at his children. He sees those forces, those mad forces of the world that would destroy them, devour them. He sees the destructive power of sin. And he comes in anger and fury to destroy those that would destroy his children. And so the prophet speaks of him coming. Coming from that day of vengeance, having purged the world of those evil forces that would corrupt and destroy his children and their joy in his righteous kingdom. And what do you see? You see the severity of God, and you see the goodness of God. You see the loving kindnesses that God has for his children. His loving kindnesses have been manifested in many ways. The prophet said, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, and then he begins to list many ways in which God has demonstrated his loving kindnesses towards us. First of all, he mentions the goodness that God has bestowed upon us, according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon us. John said, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And so the first thing that God has bestowed upon you is his love. Behold what manner of love God has bestowed upon you. And he bestowed that love, manifested it in the giving of his Son for our sins. For Paul said, God has manifested his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus said, greater love has no man than this, than a man will lay down his life for his friends. And again he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Behold, what love God has bestowed upon us. But not only has he bestowed his love upon us, he has bestowed upon us his grace, his undeserved blessings that we experience day by day as we go through life. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, spoke of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ in heavenly places. And as he began to list these spiritual blessings, He spoke of this grace. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. And so the grace that God has bestowed. The second of the loving kindnesses that the prophet mentions is his great goodness towards the house of Israel. Now, those promises that God made to Israel, that covenant that he established with them, has passed on to us Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ. As Paul is writing to the Romans chapter 11, he speaks to them of how God had cut off the natural branch, Israel, because of their unbelief, and he grafted in this wild branch, the Gentiles, contrary to nature, that they might partake of the fatness of the root. In other words, those promises, those blessings that God had promised upon Israel, they now come to those Gentiles who believe in Jesus Christ and have been grafted in to the tree, so to speak, to this root of promises, of blessings, and power and all that God had made to his people. And so the goodness of God to us, for the promises and the covenants of God are ours. And I think of God's great goodness to us. I think of this so often. I'm constantly being reminded of God's goodness. It is interesting that the word good and God are tied together in the English language as far as their root meaning. The two words go back to the same root. The one means the other. God is just a contraction of good. And they are so related. God is so related with being good. And you cannot think of God without thinking of good. That there is the two, just the relationship there. You remember Jesus said there is only one that is good, that is God. And there is just that relationship that does exist in our minds even of God with goodness. But we often fail to receive all of the goodness that God wants to bestow upon us. I think of the words of Jesus as he looked over Jerusalem and he was weeping. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, if you only knew the things that belong to your peace in this thy day." He said again, "How often would I have gathered you together unto me as a hen doth gather her chicks, but you would not." And I think of the missed blessings that we often have, not believing or not understanding what God is wanting to do in our lives, in manifesting his goodness to us. Jude exhorted in his little epistle, keep yourself in the love of God. What he is saying is keep yourself in that place where God can do those good things for you that he desires to do because of his tremendous love for you. And so the prophet speaks of the loving kindnesses of God. And in speaking of them, he talks about God's goodness. The goodness of God towards us. And then he speaks of his mercies. Throughout the psalm, David has made the mercies of God one of the predominant themes. No doubt because David needed the mercy of God and experienced the mercy of God in such a tremendous way. And David, talking about the mercies of God, said, "You have not rewarded us according to our iniquities, But as the heavens are high above the earth, so high is your mercy towards them that fear thee. And that's what mercy is all about. Not rewarding us according to our iniquities. Not giving to us what we deserve. David had sinned. Sinned horribly. He was guilty of some of the worst sins. The sin of adultery, which was compounded with murder. And when he was finally faced with his guilt by God, David prayed, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions." And God blotted out his transgressions. God was merciful. He did not reward him according to his iniquity, but David experienced the wonderful mercy of God. Well, so with us. We are not rewarded according to our iniquities, but we experience the marvelous mercies of God in our life. The loving kindness of God, which is manifested in his mercy towards the repentant sinner. Though your sins be as scarlet, they may be as white as snow, because God is merciful. And then, in verse 8, the prophet, speaking of the loving kindnesses of God, said that God said, "Surely they are my people." That is, God called them his people. God's loving kindness manifested in the fact that he called them his people. Now, as Paul is writing to the Ephesians, which we referred to earlier, telling them of the tremendous blessings that we have, the spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places, as he began to list that long list of blessings, there was one special blessing that he put at the top. Now, we used to sing, "Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done." And if you would sit down to count your blessings this afternoon and decide to write out the blessings of God that he has manifested and bestowed upon you. If you put them down then in order of greatness, the greatest blessing that God has bestowed upon me, if you put them down in that order, what blessing would you put at the top of the list? What would you consider to be God's greatest blessing towards you? It is interesting to me that Paul the Apostle chose the top of his list, that he was chosen in God or in Christ before the foundations of the earth. The greatest blessing Paul saw was, "He chose me. He chose me to spend eternity with me." Now, I considered a tremendous blessing that my wife Kay chose to spend the rest of her natural life with me. We stood before the preacher and I heard her say, "Till death do us part." And she chose to spend her life with me. That's a blessing. But even a greater blessing is God has chosen to spend eternity with me. What a blessing. Chosen in Christ for this wonderful privilege. As God chose Israel, so God has chosen you. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, I chose you and ordained that you should be my disciples." Chosen in him. In verse 9, going on, speaking of the loving kindnesses of the Lord, it said, "In all of their afflictions, he was afflicted." Back a few chapters, 10 chapters, the prophet said, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. We, like sheep, had gone astray. We turned every one of us to our own way. But God laid on him the iniquities of us all. In all of our afflictions, he was afflicted. That is, he bore for us the punishment for our sins. He was afflicted for me. That which I deserved, he took. That judgment that I had coming, he received. In all of my afflictions, he was afflicted as he bore for me the guilt and the punishment of my sin. That little pamphlet on footprints, how the person in heaven was able to review their life and their walk and fellowship with the Lord. And he observed that he and the Lord were where they laughed together, where they were communing and fellowshipping, great time together. He saw the two footprints walking along in glorious fellowship with the Lord. But then he observed whenever there was difficult times, the times of sorrow and the times of difficulty, there seemed to be only one set of footprints. And he questioned the Lord. He said, how is it that you seem to be there whenever I was happy and things were going well, but then when there was all of the problems and all, it seems there's only one set of footprints? And the Lord said, that's when I picked you up and carried you. And so in all of our afflictions, he was afflicted. He bore for us, and that's, of course, he goes on to say how he bore them and carried them. God's goodness, his mercy. He was afflicted in our afflictions, and then he goes on to say, and he saved them. The angel of his presence, who is Jesus, saved them. Our sin was destroying us. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But he saved us from the destruction that sin was bringing upon our lives. He saved us from the wrath that was to come. And then his loving kindness was manifested in his love and in his pity. Its prophet said he redeemed them. We sing, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child, and forever I am. He paid a tremendous price to ransom my soul from the slavery to sin. But he did it because he loved me. In pity and his love, he redeemed them. And then he bore them and carried them. Through the deepest valley, through the darkest night, through the greatest sorrow, even through the shadow of death, the Lord will carry us through. Our Lord will carry us through the most difficult circumstances of life. Then the prophet speaks of our response. Back in verse 7 again, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord. And then he listed for us the loving kindnesses. But then he said, the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon us. The natural response of our hearts to the loving kindnesses of God should be that of praise. I mean, that should just go without saying. The natural response, spontaneous response of my heart in the recognition of God's mercy, God's love, God's grace, God's salvation and redemption is just the praising of the Lord. The psalmist said, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Praise him, all ye people, for his merciful kindness is great towards us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise ye the Lord. And so these things that God has done in manifesting his loving kindness are all of them causes for praise. And so let our praise rise like incense. It's interesting to me, we're so ready to complain about anything that goes wrong. The slightest little problem, and here I am, Lord, why did you allow that? Lord, and I'm ready to complain about anything that doesn't please me. It didn't go the way I wanted it to. And I'm quick to complain. But we're so slow to respond in praise. Now, when you look at the goodness of God, it is so vast. The blessings, the loving kindnesses of God are so great that we should be praising the Lord continually. And yet, it seems that so many people are just always griping. Here were the children of Israel. Their life was as miserable as a person could imagine. The Bible speaks of their crying unto God by reason of the heavy burden that was put upon them by their taskmasters in Egypt. They were having demands placed upon them greater than they could fulfill. And then being beaten for not fulfilling them. It was an impossible situation. And they cried unto the Lord by reason of their sorrow and their servitude. And God heard their cry. And God sent Moses, who led them out of their bondage in Egypt, who destroyed the Egyptian pursuing army, who sustained them through the wilderness, who gave them manna to eat, who guided them with a cloud and with a fire. And for 40 years, what did they do? Griped and complained. Oh, we should be back in Egypt. We had onions and garlic there. This bland manna, I can't stand it. And the complaining. And so often, if we will take inventory of our own lives, we will see that God's loving kindnesses have been manifested in so many ways to us, and yet, so often we find ourselves complaining to God rather than praising the Lord. It's even manifested in our yearly calendar. We set aside one day out of the year for thanksgiving and praise. Other 364 for griping and complaining. Things are reversed. We should have a national gripe holiday. Get out all your gripes and complaints and now enjoy the rest of the year, the goodnesses and the blessings of living in this land. The kindnesses of God, the loving kindnesses of God. The response of our heart should be praise continually unto him for the abundance of his mercy and his loving kindnesses towards us. Let all the earth break forth and sing his praises. God help us. Now, the very next verse, verse 10. Having experienced all of these loving kindnesses of God, they rebelled. They vexed his Holy Spirit. and thus he turned to be their enemy and he fought against them. If you rebel against God, the goodnesses of God, the things of God, the loving kindnesses of God, and how do we rebel? Here, God has forgiven us so much, and yet we're unwilling to forgive one another. Jesus gave that parable in which he set out how ludicrous is our unforgiving spirit. For here was a master who had a servant that owed him $16 million, and he said, "All right, it's come due, pay me." And he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't pay you. I just don't have it." And he said, "Well, all right, just forget it. I'll write it off." And he went out and got a fellow servant that owed him $17. And he said, "All right, pay up." And the fellow said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can't pay up. Now give me a little time and I'll take care of this obligation." He said, "No way." And he had him thrown in the debtor's prison for the $17 debt. And the other servants came to the Lord and said, "You know what happened? You know that servant that you forgave him the $16 million he owed you? Do you know that he had his fellow servant thrown in jail for a $17 debt?" And Jesus is showing us really how much God has forgiven us. And yet here we are holding these little debts, demanding payment, unforgiving when we have been forgiven so much. And yet we so often are unforgiving. And that is rebelling against God. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven us." So important. That in face of the loving kindnesses of God, the mercy that we have received, that we be merciful. That we be loving, that we be kind, that we be forgiving. Now you can spend your life thinking about all of the grievances, all of the things that you have to be upset about, all of the things that you are angry over. And you can go around being an angry, bitter person. Or you can spend your life thinking of all of the loving kindnesses of God, all of his goodness, his mercy, his grace and all to you. And you can go around just being a happy person filled with praise and thanksgiving. It all depends on what you are concentrating on. The loving kindnesses of God, or the things about life that you don't like. But it'll determine what kind of a person you are. And so the prophet would remind us of God's loving kindness. And I would remind you of God's loving kindness today. And I would exhort you to just go over this list and count your blessings. See what God has done. And let your heart then rejoice in his goodness. Father, we give thanks to you today for the many blessings, the untold blessings that you've bestowed upon us as your children. Lord, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who came and bore our sin, who saved us from the judgment and the wrath of God to come, who delivered us from the power of darkness, who set us free from the slavery and the bondage of corruption, Lord, you've been so good. You've manifested your love to us in so many ways. We give thanks. We praise you. We live, Lord, in thanksgiving and praise. Amen. Shall we stand? Paul the Apostle, as he was writing his letter to the church at Philippi, said, "Whatsoever things are true, are honest, are just, are pure, are lovely, or of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Important. Think on these things. The loving kindnesses of God, the goodness of God, the blessings of God. The result will be the peace of God will keep your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. May that be the case this week. As you are tempted to gripe and so many times over the slightest things. It's too cold in here, too hot in here. I don't like him. Turn your thoughts, your mind towards the Lord and his loving kindnesses. And feel that praise just welling up within spontaneously because God is so good. May you experience that goodness and his blessings as you walk in fellowship with him this week in Jesus' name.